The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. To comment on today's show, just email us at td@kpcg.fm. In the second segment today, by the way, we'll be updating you on the Mystery of the Ages goal, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Today, we live in a world of awesome progress and advancement. Here in the Western world, we're surrounded by so many modern marvels that we take most of it for granted. Think about the devices that you might use to just listen to this program. Some listeners around Edmond, Oklahoma, will hear the Trumpet Daily over the radio airwaves. But the vast majority of our listeners either stream the program online or they listen to the podcast when it's posted later at the trumpet.com website. A lot of you use laptops, smartphones to listen to the Trumpet Daily. And just think about those devices for a moment, whether it is a phone or a computer or the radio. And then think about the creative design that went into making that device. The presence of that device is proof positive that someone designed it and brought it into existence. There had to be a mind behind it. Someone planned it. Someone formed it. Someone shaped it. Someone put it all together. Of course, in most of these cases, it's some group of people who put it all together. These modern inventions, though, the point is, these modern inventions don't just happen. And yet, with respect to the grand design of the heavens, the billions of stars and moons and planets, well, there's a lot of very well-educated people today that think all of that just happened. Think about all the living organisms just here on Earth, the oceans and the skies and the continents that are just teeming with life. Is it rational to think there was no mastermind behind it? That no one thought out or planned all of that and brought it all into existence? Is it rational to say that all of this just happened? That there was no intelligence behind it all? That no one planned for it? I'd like to begin our study today in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 14. Go and get your Bible and read along with me. And as you turn over there, let me just give you a quote from a beautiful little booklet by Herbert Armstrong titled, Does God Exist? It's a short little booklet, but it contains a powerful message. He says here, but then you, Mr. Skeptic, you look up, he's talking about someone who made a watch and how crazy it would be, a wristwatch that you put on your wrist, and just how crazy it would be to say that, well, that just happened and it keeps time by itself and no one created it to be that way. And then Mr. Armstrong goes on and says, but then you, Mr. Skeptic, you look up into the great vast sky at the master clock of the universe, which never misses a second, the perfect watch by which we must constantly set all our imperfect man-made watches, and you tell me that all just happened? There was no great watchmaker, no mastermind thought out and planned the vast universe, brought it into being, set each star and planet in its own exact place, and started the myriad heavenly bodies coursing through space, each in its prescribed orbit, in its orderly precision. No, it just fashioned itself, put itself together, wound itself up, and started itself running. There was no intelligence, no planning, no creation, no God. Do you say that to me? If you can look about you, he writes, and observe how intelligently planned and executed is everything in nature and in plant and animal life, everything we see except the bungling, botching, polluting of God's beautiful handiwork by the clumsy hand of God ignoring and rejecting man, and then say you doubt the existence of an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Creator God, then I do not have much faith either in your rational processes or your sincerity as a seeker of the truth. That's Herbert Armstrong in his booklet, Does God Exist? Notice here what it says in Psalm 14, in verse 1. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. The fool, he says at the start, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How foolish it is to look at this master clock of the universe, this watch, and to say that there's no watchmaker. God in the scriptures calls these doubters, these skeptics, fools for thinking such. For thinking such things as that. Verse 2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. No one. Look at the evil in this world today, and yet, at the same time, look at the arrogance. Coming back to this point about God's existence, in that little booklet, Does God Exist?, Mr. Armstrong talks about how science today has proven, without a doubt, that there was a time when matter didn't exist. Now notice what he explains in this booklet. Evolution, he says, usually postulates that things come about gradually through the slow-moving natural processes of the present. Try to imagine, if you can, something coming into existence out of nothing gradually. Can your mind entertain the idea? I think not. He says, no, I think if you are rational, you will have to accept the fact of a special and necessarily instantaneous creation, and some power or someone had of necessity to do the creating. There's a cause for every effect. And in accepting that inevitable fact, proved by the findings of science of the existence of the great first cause, you have accepted the fact of the existence and pre-existence of the Creator God. Evolution, he says there, postulates about things happening gradually, slow-moving over the course of millions of years. But what about what happened right at the very beginning? When there was nothing, as far as matter is concerned, there was nothing, and then there was matter. Well, the Bible explains it all. You can look at Hebrews 11 and verse 3 later, where it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Paul says there in Hebrews that it didn't come from things that appear. It was made from something invisible. It was made from a great spirit being. God used invisible spirit energy to bring matter into existence, something that didn't exist before. It was a brand new creation. Now scientists talk about, well, as Mr. Armstrong explained, on the one hand, there's this gradual, slow-moving process, but then when they go back to the very beginning, they speak of a big bang. Let me read to you what the Plain Truth said regarding that idea back in June 1984. This is the magazine that Herbert Armstrong started back in the 1930s. This article says, the real Big Bang was a well-planned, deliberately executed act of creation. How would you expect a super powerful divine being to bring forth an entire universe with a small fizzle, a limp thud, or a weak whimper? Of course not. The creation of the universe was accomplished with a glorious display of light, heat, matter, and energy, a display that still reverberates throughout space. You talk about a big bang. When God brought matter into existence, the great creator God. Let's go over to the New Testament, the book of Romans, and chapter 1. Romans 1, this is a passage that we go to often on this program. The whole chapter is just packed with so much for us to wrap our minds around. Let's start in verse 19, and I'll read these first couple of verses in the Revised Standard Version, where it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." He says in verse 20, "Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." God is saying here that creation is proof of his existence. Creation demands a creator. That's what we can learn in looking around at God's handiwork. There was a watchmaker, as Mr. Armstrong says in that booklet. God's physical creation, as David wrote in the Psalms, declares his glory. God has shown us so much. He's shown us so much that we're without excuse if we remain in ignorance of his purpose. Verse 21, this is in the King James Version now, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were are thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart," it says, "was darkened." God says the world became futile or empty in its thinking, and proud of its trifling accomplishments. Pride comes to the surface and influences man to act and to think in the way that he does. From the very day Adam and Eve were created, these invisible pulls coming from the devil, they began to exert their influence on man's visible actions. And look at where we are today. Carnal minds, the scriptures tell us, just naturally resist honoring and glorifying the great creator God. They resist against this. And this passage here in Romans 1 reveals how knowledge about God and his laws, that's absolutely essential to right education, true education. The kind of education that our students receive at Armstrong College. Education based on the right foundation, a solid foundation, not on the wisdom of this world. Look at verse 22. It says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." That's what we see today. Lots of professing to be wise, but oh, so much foolishness. So much foolishness. Some of the world's wisest men, some of the world's wisest women have said in their hearts, have said openly, have said proudly that there is no God. And God calls it foolishness. As we read in Psalm 14, there's a proverb, another similar statement, Proverbs 28:26. "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." And then Isaiah 5 in verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." Why won't we look to God for answers? So many will see a quote from a modern day textbook in the second segment. And you see just how unsure the foundation is. So many theories and ideas. You get far away from God, and that's what you're left with, a foundation that's not solid, like it should be. Verse 23 says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Look at what Paul is saying here. Man is willing to worship just about anything other than God. Evolution, Mr. Armstrong used to talk about this. Really, it is a religion. It's a faith. And you have to have a lot of blind faith in a theory such as that, where there's no proof. It takes a lot of blind faith, doesn't it, to believe that the universe and that life, human life, that it just sort of happened, that there was a spontaneous bang that happened, and then since then, a very slow moving, gradual process that's brought us to the point of where we are today. That's quite a leap of faith. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial there in Oklahoma, the local station coming from our headquarters campus. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm, as I said at the top. Send us your emails, your feedback, your questions, your comments to kpcg.fm. We will be right back.
You are listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Only two origins of this vast universe are possible: creation or evolution. And yet, the existence of a creator and the doctrine of evolution oppose each other. They cannot coexist. It seems many, regardless of which source of origins they believe in, more or less assume their beliefs. Many have also been swept into their beliefs based on the circles in which they have lived or associated. In general, the beliefs of peoples on this most important subject have been established without proof. Could this have happened to you? Is it even intelligent to believe in a creator? Was mankind the product of millions of years of evolutionary forging? Regardless of which, should we accept our views on blind faith? People generally believe what they are willing to accept, and most are not willing to prove either. Is there a way to irrefutably prove either possibility of origins? Evolution has been pushed onto the educational community as if it were fact. But does evolution stand up to an objective examination of the facts? And will you accept the challenge to find the proof of the Holy Bible? Proof in the God of creation? Proof that the Holy Bible is the inspired revelation from the all-knowing, all-powerful maker of the universe? Our booklet, Does God Exist?, examines these vital questions and also the stunning answers. Download or order it for free at our website, thetrumpet.com, today.
The Trumpet Daily.
This past weekend, we had a program here in the UK on the subject of Chapter 6 in Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of the church. That program brought in 110 requests for Mystery of the Ages, which brings our total for the year to 1,376. That leaves us 624 shy of our goal going into this weekend, or this past weekend. We were hoping for more than 110, but one thing that I can say is that even 110, we're kind of spoiled now when you compare it to the figures we were getting back in the early part of the year. But 110 requests is really good in terms of cost per response. As far as reaching that goal of 2,000, though, as you know, we're coming down now to the last 2 months of the year. And so it's looking like it's going to be a little bit more difficult to get there. But we're still going to finish strong. And we've already, by the way, lined up a repeat that offers Mystery of the Ages that will play 2 weeks from now. So we pushed it up a week just because we were running short on time last week in taping new programs. In any event, this is a program that ran back in April, April the 12th. This is when we just had the one TV station, and it was on the subject of the mystery of God should be finished. It advertised Mystery of the Ages and Malachi's message. And just on the one station from back in April, that program brought in 92 responses. So it was one of our strongest programs in the first 6 months of the year. And with two additional stations added this time around, hopefully we'll get a much bigger response. We'll see. As I say, we'll certainly keep you posted. This coming week, we've got a program on the Sabbath, which offers Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? That's this Saturday and Sunday here in the UK region and also in Ireland. Today, we're looking at the subject of the existence of God. If you think about this question, does God exist? I mean, that really is the starting point for the acquisition of all knowledge. That's the foundation. It's the foundation upon which our existence depends, really. Our existence, our purpose. I mean, all of this, it just cries out for us to seek answers to these questions. Now, just coming back to that point about our existence, just the existence itself of the material creation, that right there is positive proof that there is a creator, a great creator God. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 1, which we read in the first segment. Let's continue our study over in James, the book of James, chapter 4. Again, read along with me and see what God has to say in his word. Just as creation demands that there be a creator, you could follow that same thought and say that law also demands a lawgiver. Laws that we see in the universe that demands that there was someone there giving that law, establishing that law. I mentioned that I'd read from a modern day text about creation, or this is actually based on evolution. This is coming from a textbook that doesn't believe, or the authors don't believe, that there was a great creator God behind it all. Notice what this book says. It's called Civilization, Past and Present. And it says here, our own galaxy, notice the language that it uses. Our own galaxy, which we remember is but a tiny part of the universe and has probably existed a million years, it says. But some progress has been made in attempting to explain how and when the sun and its nine planets came into being. The study of our solar system gives us at least a clue to the origin of that part of the universe most important to us, Earth. It says the explanation commonly accepted today is called the hypothesis of dynamic encounter, formulated about 1900 by T.C. Chamberlain and F.R. Moulton of the University of Chicago. In brief, it suggests that our solar system had its birth when the sun was approached by another huge star. The latter, through the operation of the law of gravitation, detached from the sun great masses of flaming gas. The orphan masses from the parent sun gradually cooled and crystallized to become the nuclei of planets. These continued to revolve around the sun, held in their orbits by the gravitational pull of the parent body. It says the evolution of the Earth to its present state was very gradual. Now notice their proof, so-called. Notice their proof. Throughout that quote I gave to you, they use phrases like probably or some progress has been made, that we're attempting to explain. There's at least a clue. Here's the explanation that's commonly accepted. All of this suggests that's their foundation. What a foundation it is. or lack thereof. There's never, there has never been any evidence to support the theory. That's what it is, the theory of a creation without a creator. And so you hear a lot of probablys. You hear a lot of explanations. You hear a lot of suggestions. But you hear very little in the way of proof. Yet look at that same quote I just read to you. Look at what else is embedded within it. Those authors admit the existence of our solar system, the existence of the sun, and another huge star. It talked about the law of gravitation. They acknowledge the masses of flaming gas and how that these gases gradually cooled. But how did all of this happen? They mention how these gases crystallized and then continued to revolve around the sun, held in orbit by what? Well, by the gravitational pull. So here they these are evolutionists, and they admit to us having a solar system, a huge sun, and that there are definite laws involving heat, light, energy, motion, the rotation of astral bodies, and of course the law of gravitation. And yet we're to believe that all of this somehow happened? All of these laws, they're just simply taken for granted by those who explain how we supposedly came into existence from nothing, how we evolved to where we are today. In every explanation to supposedly prove evolution true, scholars have begun with this, with things like what I just read to you. They begin with an orderly, law-abiding universe governed by irrefutable laws, the law of gravitation and the like. And yet the very existence of these laws absolutely demands that there be a lawgiver. That's what it says here in James 4 and verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? See, there's one lawgiver. God gave those laws. He created matter. He created the universe. He created those planets. He created life. Law demands a lawgiver. Notice Genesis chapter 2, and we'll just look at one more proof of God's existence. Mr. Armstrong, over the course of his ministry, really did talk about many, many different proofs. You could go on for hours and hours in a study such as this. But we'll just keep it simple and straightforward for today's program. A short study, if you will. Genesis chapter 2. Evolution, as we've looked at, it offers really no explanation for the existence of matter, other than to say it just appeared. It offers no explanation for how laws were established. It offers no explanation for how life got here in the first place. I mean, if you go back far enough, if life came from the first simple life forms, then where did those simple life forms come from? And does God exist? Notice what Mr. Armstrong wrote. No fact, just carrying on with our study, another profound point to make on this subject. No fact of science, he says, stands more conclusively proved today. Life cannot come from dead matter. There is not one shred of truth from science to account for the presence of life upon the earth by any means other than a special creation by the great original first cause, God, who is life and the fountain source of all life. It is now absolutely certain, according to all that can be known from science, according to all that is rational, that it required a real creation to produce life from the not living, organic from inorganic matter. In other words, life comes from life. Life cannot come from dead matter. This is actually a great scientific truth. It's called, as Mr. Armstrong taught, it's called the law of biogenesis. Even with all of the modern advancements in science and technology today, they haven't been able to connect life and death. They haven't been able to show how death can produce life. Life comes from life. I mean, if life can only come from life, that's the law of biogenesis. And then we also know that, and this is proven by science, honest science, we also know that at one time matter did not exist. Then what does that mean? It means there has to be a life-creating being who lives, who is life. And that's what's explained right here in Genesis 1, the very first chapter of the Bible. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind. God made it, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Here's another profound truth of the Bible. And don't you see it all throughout God's material creation? Life comes from life. And then you add to that the fact that living creatures reproduce after their own kind, just like God said in Genesis 1. Mr. Armstrong said, the wisest of the ancients did not know what science makes available today. Thus, it is demonstrated today that life comes only from life, and that each kind reproduces only after its kind. This is a scientific truth today. And it's expounded upon. Imagine that in the very first chapter of the Bible, written by Moses thousands of years ago. God said there in Genesis 1, we read verse 25. Verse 24 says, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Another profound truth. God the Creator, bringing life into existence. And of course, with respect to man, as you can see there in verse 26, he made man in his image after his likeness. God is reproducing himself. God's a spirit being, as John 4:24 says. He is spirit. But through his inspired word and even the obvious physical evidence that there is in creation, God reveals that he's reproducing his own spirit life. God's reproducing himself. And he's made this known, really, through the physical creation. You can look around at this creation and see reproduction everywhere. Everywhere. And yet look at how many billions of people on earth today are in total ignorance of this divine purpose that God's working out here below. Animals reproduce after the animal kind. Dogs reproduce dogs, cats, cats, and on it goes. And God reproduces after the God kind. What a potential we have. Let's look at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In chapter 1 this time, right at the start, very basic scriptures here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, in him was life. That is self-existing life, inherent. Evolutionists, if they really believe God doesn't exist, then they have to admit that all living organisms started from the non-living, which is impossible, which goes against the law of biogenesis. So simple, this truth. So basic, so fundamental, so foundational. All explained right there in the Word of God. Let's go back to Genesis and we'll just conclude here again with these verses that we have already discussed. God said, verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, the creeping and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Just one last point to be made here with respect to God's existence, with respect to proof of God's existence. And that is this point about the missing links. Yes, they've gone missing. They've gone missing. Scientists have gone to great lengths to somehow find these links between species in hopes of explaining the gradual evolution of simple life forms to the more complex life forms that we see today. But they can't seem to find those links. They're still missing, even after all of these advances in technology. And doesn't this prove, dear listener, that God's truth is so fundamental to our purpose, our plan? Doesn't it prove Genesis to be true? In Tomorrow's World, this is another magazine produced by Mr. Armstrong back in the late 60s, early 70s. It says here, this is October 1971, there are hundreds of different varieties within a certain species. And while there may be small, tiny dogs such as the Mexican Chihuahua, and also huge dogs such as the St. Bernard and the Great Dane, they're still dogs. They're not cats or horses. Nor are they even beginning to show a gradual trend toward developing into another species. They're all of the same kind, you see. Just like God said in Genesis 1. How about that? What a proof! This is from our own magazine, The Trumpet, March, April 2002. By Mark Nash, The Fraud of Evolution, he writes, one of the easiest facts to discover about evolution is that of the missing links. The evolutionary hypothesis has changed through the years, but it always claims that the animals of today come from predecessors that were different. Here is where the links are missing. No matter what animal is studied, without exception, there is a gap in the records where missing links exist. He says, through the millions of years and billions of animals it would take to evolve from one species to another, there is not a single fossil to demonstrate the link from one species to another. Yet the evolutionists base their conclusions on such connecting links as if they were commonplace in the fossil record. Well, it's just common. It's just common. I mean, academia has embraced this. Everyone believes it. Everyone accepts it. And here people who believe in the great creator God are intimidated into silence when it's those dishonest scientists that don't have a leg to stand on. Read Does God Exist? Powerful, profound little booklet by Herbert Armstrong, who really did dig into this subject going back now almost 100 years. Does God exist? And I also, in just thinking about this study this morning, thought a lot about our awesome universe potential, another booklet produced by this church, which contains a powerful message, a very deep message at that. That together with Does God Exist would make for a wonderful foundational study this week. It would make for a great study for your children. Both booklets are booklets that your older children, your teenagers, even preteens, can really dig into, so that they base their education on a solid foundation. You're listening to the Trumbet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to send us your feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.